¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Brian Wilson, joining us right now from the Daily Mail, David Martosco, who is covering the presidential campaigns here in the United States of America on behalf of that fine media organ. And you're with the Trump campaign right now, right, David?
Yep, I'm in Florida.
Okay.
We'll be in Ocala, Florida, and Lakeland, Florida today.
But I got to ask you, before you tell us what's going on with the Trump campaign, clearly we know why you're not with the Clinton campaign, because you showed up in some of these emails that came out, David, and they didn't like you. They didn't like you covering the campaign and asking questions that they weren't used to hearing.
You impertinent reporter, you.
What happened there when you were following the Scooby van around?
Well, this is kind of an old story. I mean, you know, last year I was part of the print press pool, you know, this rotating group of reporters who take turns covering the campaign in small events so everybody else has eyes and ears. And they actually banned me from the campaign pool. They just did not like my reporting. And, you know, they offered lots of excuses at the time. But now we see with these WikiLeaks emails, they just wanted any excuse they could think of to boot me out. You know, I had done some reporting, you know, chased them going 92 miles an hour down a highway, you know, passing the Manchester airport, going all the way to Boston Logan so Hillary could have a plane with first-class seats.
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
But David
didn't like the scrutiny.
David, when Donald Trump speculates about, banning certain media organs from his press plane and from his press pool because he doesn't think their coverage is fair, we're told that the First Amendment is being threatened. But here we see them in their emails openly figuring out how to get you out of the press pool, and I'm missing all of the hair-on-fire concerns about this becoming Stalin's Russia.
To be completely fair, at the time, and this is more than a year ago, every other news organization in the pool signed on at the top level of their management to a letter basically telling the Clintons, this is not China, you don't get to choose who covers you. So the media did actually respond. And I did lots of press at the time. You know, it was actually kind of a big deal for about 1 day.
I remember that story, yeah. But I mean, what we have seen in the WikiLeaks, and we're going to go through this a little bit later in greater detail about what's in the WikiLeaks documents, but boy, it sure does seem like there's just story after story after story after story of a cozy relationship between the mainstream media and the Clinton campaign.
That is true. And in fact, last night, in the panhandle of Florida, the sort of Trump's first rally since this whole thing broke, he really, really went off and really hammered the New York Times in particular for one of those WikiLeaks emails in which one of the reporters was shown giving Hillary Clinton's campaign veto power over how he would quote her.
Yeah.
Which is just, you just don't do that. I mean, I don't care how cozy you are with these people. I don't care how many cocktail parties you go to with them. There is something sacrosanct about you have a conversation with a candidate, and if you're on the record, you're on the record, and they don't get to go back and say, well, let me revise that.
Yeah.
That's just not how the game is played.
David, you're down in Florida, and, you know, we saw Donald Trump have a bit of a sparring match with the Republican establishment, certain members of the Republican establishment, most specifically Paul Ryan and John McCain yesterday, and he says now that the shackles are off. Now, we speculated earlier this morning, what exactly does a Trump campaign look like with the shackles off? Because
thank goodness now he's going to feel free to speak his mind, right?
But did you see anything last night, or are you hearing anything from your inside sources on the campaign that suggests what that exactly means?
I think in his mind, what that, and he didn't, you know, use the word shackles last night, but what that means in his mind is that he no longer has to have the calculation in the back of his head at all. It says, well, if I say things this way, how is the center of the party going to respond? How is Reince Priebus going to respond? He's basically now said, for the next 4 weeks, I'm running my campaign. You guys can either, you know, jump on with me or get the heck out of the way. He just doesn't want to have to think about them at all. He wants to run the campaign his way and not worry at all about the impact of his words on down-ticket races. He's basically saying, look, this is a presidential campaign.
Yeah.
This is not a congressional campaign. You know, Reince and Ryan, you guys worry about the rest of it. I'm focusing on the White House.
So there are, a really quick follow-up, there are two sort of, you know, advisors overall, watching this campaign, Kellyanne Conway, an old political hand from D.C., and Steve Bannon, who is not an old political hand from D.C. And I've got to think that Bannon loves to hear that from Trump. What is Kellyanne Conway's reaction?
Well, I think at this point, Kellyanne is only really concerned about the polls, only concerned about the sort of swing state math.
Okay.
She's not focused on down ticket races right now. I mean, she's going to have to worry about that after the election, because win or lose, you know, she's going to have clients who are concerned about the impact of the decisions
Understood.
That her candidate's making now.
Yeah. Okay.
But look, her job is to get Donald Trump elected president of the United States. And at this point, if her candidate's going to be a maverick and kind of threaten to go off the rails, she's going to have to either find a way to calm him down or just, you know, put in with him and just go all out. I mean, obviously, Bannon loves this kind of controversy. He thinks it's good for his brand. He thinks it's good for Trump's brand to be seen as a swashbuckler. You know, ultimately, of course,
does that win you an election, though? Yeah, does it win you the
but
election?
It doesn't help him with anybody else.
If I could, let me talk quickly about the Clinton campaign. They were in Florida as well yesterday, and Hillary Clinton made this comment regarding the recent hurricane that hit the East Coast, Hurricane Matthew.
Right now, the ocean is at or near record high temperatures, and that contributed to the torrential rainfall and the flash flooding that we saw in the Carolinas.
Yeah, I mean, it rains when hurricanes come, but she did neglected to mention that there were 11 years that passed when there were no hurricanes at all.
Well, wait a minute. I thought when President Obama was elected, that was the day when the ocean started to...
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, well, look. I'll tell you, the mood of all this thing. I was down in Florida. I had just gotten off the plane when all this happened, and I did what I normally do on the campaign trail when I've got a few hours to blow. I found a cigar lounge, and I kind of lit up a stogie and sort of sit back and did my work. And I'm sitting there, and the TV's on, and up comes Al Gore, and there's about 10 or 11 of these guys in the cigar bar, you know, a beer in one hand, a stogie in the other, kind of ordinary salt of the earth, dirt under the fingernails guys. And to a man, all of them basically look at him and said, "Oh, look, it's Man Bear Pig." And they all just, they were just mocking him relentlessly. It was, you know, he may have kind of impressed the crowd there, and they all had to applaud for him, but I have a sense that a good part of the sort of sweet, gooey middle of the electorate looked at that and said, "Really?
Yeah.
Didn't we dispense with this clown with the Supreme Court ruling 16 years ago? Really?"
There was a collective epic eye roll when he got up there.
He's a hunk of burning love these days, I'm telling you, man. I mean, he's so big that he's got his own gravitational pull.
Well, not only that, but, you know, part of what happens is when he shows back up, everybody on Twitter starts relitigating his life, everything from his,
right.
his, you know, environmental hypocrisy to the fact that all those massage therapist women who accused him of sexually groping them.
Yes,
let's not forget, Al Gore is an accused sexual pervert.
The sex-crazed poodle. We just don't have an audio with Billy Bush about it. You're mm-hmm. right. And thank God he didn't kiss Hillary like he did Tipper, though, with the 2000 convention.
Oh, no.
That would have been
let's not go there.
One takeaway from this entire interview, though, is who amongst us doesn't want to hang out and have a bourbon and a stogie with David Martosko in Florida covering the Trump campaign?
I don't drink. For me, it's the Diet Coke and the stogie, but I always tell the other reporters on the trail, you want to join me, the cigars are on me, and that's, you know, it's how you make friends in this business.
This sounds like a we got to look into this, Brian Wilson. We might need a road trip.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, David. Good to have you.
My pleasure.